Welcome to Pen and Page Gals, the podcast where we're flipping through our favorite and recent reads. Your hosts are me, I'm Jensine.
And I'm Sophia. And in a digital age when everything is fast-paced and fighting for our attention, we hope to inspire you to slow the scroll and pause for some pages instead.
Happy June, everybody!
Hi.
Woohoo! I'm Jensine. I'm here with Sophia. And we're really excited to bring you our June episode of Pen and Page Gals. Are you officially on summer break, Sophia?
Yes. I feel like my kids got out maybe like on the earlier end of the spectrum. They got out before Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. So we've been out for a good couple of weeks now. What about you?
Yeah. I think we got off like the same week, actually. And then we both went out of town for Memorial Day weekend. I think we talked about that a little bit last time. How was your trip? Trips.
Multiple. It was really fun. And it's kind of crazy how much stuff has changed. So, like, you know, if you missed last month's episode, we talked about, like, how we were going to pick up I was going to pick up my kids, not Jensine and I, but I was going to pick up my kids with my husband. That's the we that I'm talking about, on the last day of school and just like start driving down to Disneyland. And they didn't know. They had no idea. It was a lot of fun. But back then, this was pre-June 15th, which in the state of California is like the magical date when like, I guess everything changed. Like, the clock struck midnight on June 15th. Yeah. Like, I don't know. So when we went, there was still like masks required, temp checks before you got in, social distancing markers throughout the park. The park was closing at 9, which I don't know if that's still the case anymore. That's like earlier. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it just like there was like reduced capacity, which I know it's still reduced capacity, but there were like just all these restrictions in place.
Yeah.
So, you know, we went kind of prepared with that mindset, knowing that it might not feel the same as it did pre-COVID. But honestly, it was a lot of fun. And even though it was reduced capacity, it felt full. Like my husband and I kept looking at each other and being like, if this is 30% capacity, then we need to just, the park just needs to stay at 30% capacity forever. Cause this is pretty full. Like we waited in line for rides and stuff like that. And, but they had a good time. We got to see a lot of characters, which I wasn't.
Fun. I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like your kids got to do like everything they wanted to do. Like it was
a successful
kind of trip.
Yeah. It did help that we stayed in the Grand Californian hotel that's like inside like Disneyland or whatever. It's connected to Grand California Adventure Park. And so we didn't have to do any of like the lining up at the gate or like, I don't know. Yeah. Like I saw on your Instagram, Jensine, just like bag check, like all of that. We just did it in the hotel. There's like a private entrance for the guests and there's no line. It's like, you just walk up, the guy just looks at it and he knows like you're a hotel guest. So he's just like, just in the time. Just like lets you through.
That's so nice.
What about you guys? I know you guys went.
Yeah. And we went like the day after.
The June day. 15th. Yes.
Literally like the day after. And I think on June 15th, we went on the 16th, but on June 15th, it was, I think, nutso. Like there were all these videos of just lines trying to get into Disneyland, like wrapped crazy down the block and everything. And so I think everyone tried to like get back on the 15th, and which made it crazy. And I actually think that like scared some people away, because the days we went on the 16th and the 17th were not that bad. And like you're saying about how like at 35% it felt full, that was the same for us. I think they like increased the capacity a little bit. People are saying like somewhere between 35 and 50 as like the weeks go on. But I read somewhere that even like pre-COVID, the park was never, it's not usually like 100%. It's usually somewhere around like 75-ish. And yeah, like 100% would be like no one could like get in anymore, which is crazy. So I feel like 35 to 50 is kind of like where they're landing at now, which is almost close to, I think, what their normal summer capacity would be, which is between like 60 and 80%. But yeah, when we went, no masks required for fully vaccinated people. And there was no like checking your vaccination records or cards or anything like that. So it was pretty much honor system. And they said, you know, masks would be required for kids under 12 since they can't get the vaccination indoors. So masks would be required indoors. But then they didn't check at all. Like no cast member ever was like, oh, put your mask on or whatever if we were inside for a ride. So anyways, I don't know if they've updated any of those like protocols, but no temperature checks anymore for us. But yeah, I think as the summer goes on, I think more and more people are going to go, and then yeah, they're just going to, it's going to get more and more crowded and crazy. But I think hopefully they'll reintroduce FastPass, which is something that was not, they didn't re, hadn't reintroduced it yet. But thankfully we're still able to get on all the rides we wanted to do, and yeah, it was fun.
Yay, that sounds like we so did, much we're fun Disney though. We are Disney moms. We're, does that make us cutie though? Like, because we're Disney adults. Did you wear ears? Did you wear ears at Disneyland?
No, I didn't wear ears.
Okay. Did you wear Disney like?
Okay, I did not, but it's because I forgot it. Like this whole time I had thought I had packed my Disneyland shirt, the one, you know, with the big like Disneyland on the back that everyone has.
Yeah.
I thought I had packed it, and then the day, so both days were like sweltering hot.
Yes.
Like, didn't need any kind of long sleeve from morning till night. But the second night, actually, we stayed till closing and it did get kind of chilly. And that was the day I was going to wear that shirt. And I was like, I didn't bring it. So I would have, but I totally forgot. My kids did though. So
yeah, they have really like, I like had it in my mind because like of that stupid TikTok that's like Disney adults are chewy or whatever. And so we have like, I have a ton of ears here at home, not necessarily mine, but like, you know, they're like one size fits all. And I do have like the rose gold sparkly ones, you know? And so I was thinking like, oh, maybe I should, you know, pack it for Disney. But after I saw that TikTok where it was like, Disney adults are chewy, I was like, okay, fine, I won't. But then I got there and they like, yeah, that exact like long sleeve style, kind of like oversized top that you're talking about. It comes in like all these different colors. And they had really like kind of like basic cute, like black and white ones. Yeah. Okay, but girl, I bought the tie-dye one because I like resisted. The entire 2 days at Disney, like there was like a really pretty blush pink one. There was like a really just like simple black and white one. Like there were like ones I was like, I would wear them. Yeah. And then we took my kid, we went to, what's it called, like World of Disney or whatever, the big store that's in downtown Disney.
Store, yeah.
Yeah. We went there and did a little bit of shopping and I walked in and like the first thing I see is this rack of like adult oversized long sleeve tees, and it's in that pretty like cotton candy tie dye, and I was like, ah, I need it, so I bought it. But I didn't wear it. I didn't wear it in Disneyland. I'm saving it for like, I don't know. I feel like it's different if it's like, okay, I've had this and I'm packing it because I have it and like we're going, versus like being like arriving and like buying and putting it on right and being like, I'm here. I just feel like it's different. So I like couldn't get myself to wear it while I was there, but I did buy it and it's just in my closet waiting for whenever
we go to Disney. It's gonna sit in your drawer till you go to Disneyland next.
Yeah, probably another year. Yes, yes, yes. Or maybe camping. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that's
asking though. Oh yes. Yeah.
Like a camping shirt. Yeah. Camping shirt. Yeah. What do your kids keep asking?
They keep asking to go back to Disneyland, so I'm like, well, we'll see.
I love that. Wait, was that? That wasn't their first time, right?
No, it wasn't. Like, but it was. I think it was really fun for them.
So. Special for them. They'll probably remember it because you guys went with like your friends and everyone we went with too. A bunch
of friends. So yeah.
That's so fun. Yeah. Yay! Yeah. Exciting. So,
all the trips planned.
Yes.
Do you have more trips? You're going to Hawaii next month.
We're going to go to Hawaii next month. Super excited. That was like supposed to be our big trip last year during spring break.
Yeah.
It was my kid's first time. It would have been my kid's first time going to Hawaii. And then obviously COVID. So we had to cancel it and we're just not getting to go. But I'm most excited for my 7-year-old. He was the one that last year when we were planning to go was like, so jazzed to go. I don't know why. Like, I think probably kids in his class were talking. I don't know, but he had said last year, like before the pandemic and stuff, like, oh my gosh, like when I get to Hawaii, like I can't wait to like see the beach. And I'm like, dude, we live in California. Like we can go to the beach right now if you want, you know, but like, he was like, no, like I want to go to the beach in Hawaii. And he must have seen a show because he said, like, I can't wait to put a straw in a coconut and taste it. And I'm like, where'd you get that
image from? Yeah.
You know? And then he cried when we had to cancel it. And we told, like, our kids. The girls were kind of like, whatever. But he cried. Like, he bawled his eyes out. So, and, like, all of this past school year, he was in first grade, and so like they do like a lot of writing prompts or like free writes. They'll just give like a little thing and then like write about it. And like he wrote about Hawaii so much. Like one of them was like, write about something that you don't know about, like that you're not an expert at or something. It was like something, it was like a kind of a stretch. And he's like, I am not an expert in Hawaii. Like, I don't know much about Hawaii. Like,
I've never been there.
So he's super excited to go. So we do have that trip planned. But other than that, we'll just be here doing all of like the camps and the swim teams and all that stuff.
You have a full slate of all of
it. I kind of regret it. I don't think I'll do it like that in the future. I'm literally running around.
We're making it up.
We're learning as we go. Yeah. But what about you? Do you have any other big trips planned this summer?
Yeah. Well, we have a like getaway sans kids coming up in a few weeks.
That's right.
We're going to Carmel. And then, I don't know, we celebrate our like dating anniversary. Or it's just another excuse for me to like go on a trip. So that our dating anniversary is in July.
Yeah, I know, like, it's in July. Our
anniversary. So we're gonna do that, and then we're going to Mexico. Is kind of like our big tropical thing.
Fun. In August.
Also a makeup from last year.
Yeah,
COVID. Mm-hmm. So do your super kids travel fun. Well in general?
So we're not like you guys who like that love traveling and like make it a priority and like have done it since your kids were really young and just like. I can tell it's something you guys enjoy. So you do it, you know, we're not like that. So we really didn't travel until our youngest was like 1.5, maybe close to 2 years old. I mean, like the most we did was like a weekend getaway to Sacramento, like, Carmel for the weekend, maybe like just really local and easy to get to places. Anything that was more than like a couple hours of a flight, it was like, heck to the no, I am not doing that. So we didn't have like a lot of experience traveling with them, and traveling isn't necessarily like something I don't have like wanderlust or anything. I'm very much a homebody. But once my youngest one turned like, I think she was 1.5, not quite 2 yet, but like right around that age where we're like, okay, like the oldest is 7, the youngest is 1, like we can kind of do this. We started taking them like to Mexico and like, I don't know. I just feel like those are like big trips. Like, it's not like we were like, like let's go on a plane and like go to like, I don't know, Arizona or like somewhere local. It's like, let's take them international to Mexico. So they did okay. Actually, it's really funny because even then I'm thinking back on those like first trips that we did to Mexico, because we would go every year like pre-pandemic. And even then we were like kind of nervous. Like, again, like we're not like flexible people. So we would book 2 hotel rooms. Even if like they could accommodate all 5 guests in one room, we would still book 2 hotel rooms and like make sure they were connecting. And one was like the kids' bedroom, whatever. Right. And one was ours. And then we would even like, so when the youngest one was still in a crib, we would put her in the kids' room bathroom. So she was like really sequestered, like on her own. Like we really tried to mimic like being at home with the sound machine and like bringing like black trash bags to like block out light at play. Like, I mean, we did all the
That's
things,
brilliant,
but
though.
This last 6 months or so, we've done two trips in the last 6 months to SoCal. And both of those times we were like, you know what? The youngest is 3.5. Now she's 4. Let's just travel like we used to travel when we were kids with our parents growing up, like just one room, bust it. Like, you know, like just no blackout curtains. If it's bright out, close your eyes, like cover your face with the pillow and sleep. Like just think. And it was the first time that we did that, like 6 months ago, it was kind of rough. Like she didn't, the youngest one did not understand. Like the older two, they understand. They're, we're like, do not talk. Do not fidget. You close your eyes. You close your mouth. You sleep. You understand? They're like, totally. Like they're like, yes, we understand. The youngest one is like singing songs and like jumping out of the bed. She didn't get it. But this last trip that we just went to, this Disneyland trip, was the first time we all slept in one room together. She like was quiet. James and I looked at each other and we were like, whoa, like we could do this. Like just kind of like travel with the kids. And so I kind of like, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx myself, but I do think that now that she's 4 and my other kids are 7 and 10, we are like in this, entering the sweet season of life where it's a little bit more doable. Like when I think of the flight to Hawaii, for example, that's coming up, that's like 6 hours on a plane. And I'm, again, like, please don't let this be famous last words. Please don't let this be famous last words. But I'm like, like that feels fine. Like they'll watch a couple movies on their iPads. Yeah. They'll eat snacks up. They understand like we're on a plane.
I do
you
think
need to
it
sit.
Gets easier when they're older and they're like, I know what this is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not too strange. It's, I know it's like a good thing.
Yes.
And I trust that my parents have something good planned for me.
Right.
And I think once they realize like that's what's at the end of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the travel experience, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we'll see. I think this is new for just as parents too. This is new for us. Cause again, this is so out of our like wheelhouse, but I'm excited to like channel some of your energy and like, you know, travel more with my kids and take them around places and stuff.
Yeah.
But speaking of trips, that just reminds me like trips and kids. I don't know if you know this story, Jensine, because I did post it on Instagram when it happened, like back in 2000, whenever it was.
Yeah.
But it was like our second time going to Mexico, our second family trip to Mexico.
Okay. And you always go to Cabo, right?
We always go to Cabo and we always stay at the same resort.
Yeah.
Not because it's like particularly amazing. I mean, it is really nice, but I think it's just because of nostalgia and I hate change. And I'm like, okay, it worked fine the first time, so why not keep going back? It wasn't our first trip there. It wasn't our first stay at this resort. The trip itself was fine. Getting there was fine. And again, it's like our second time doing the whole thing. So I'm like, you know what? That was a great trip. Like, yeah, whatever. We go to the airport to fly back home. And I don't remember exactly what time the flight was, but it was a time where, like, basically we got to the airport, we had to eat lunch at the airport and then board our flight. That was sort of how the timing worked out. And, like, I'm on vacation mode, right? So it's like, I'm just, like, going with the flow, winging it. We've had a great week at the resort already. And now we're just, like, getting ready to head home. We're at the airport and the kids, like, all pick different things that they want to eat. And my oldest, who I think was 8 years old, she said, I want pizza. And I said, that's fine, you can have pizza. Do not eat airport pizza. It is especially Mexican airport pizza. So she eats the pizza, she's fine. The kids, other kids eat their other, I don't know what they pick, like hamburgers or whatever. Okay,
it was traumatic. Coming back to me. Oh,
it was traumatic. So we get on the plane. There's 5 of us again. So, you know, like the way the airplane rows are set up, it's 3 and 3, right? So we had it so that my husband was sitting with our younger two kids all in like one row together. And then I was across the aisle with my 8-year-old, the oldest one, because she's the easiest, and then a stranger, right? And I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna chill. This is like a 3-hour flight. It's not super long. You know, I have the 8-year-old who's super self-sufficient on the iPad. Like, I'm gonna kick my heels up and just chill, right? Reading my book, which, by the way, was The Dinner List by Rebecca Searle.
Oh,
and
no.
That might be part of the reason why I'm like, I really don't like that book. So I'm like reading this book. And then all of a sudden, I was sitting in the aisle. So I was in the aisle. My daughter was in the middle seat. And this stranger that we don't know was like in the window. And then I like look over and out of the corner of my eye, I see that my daughter has like put the iPad down, and you know, like moms, we just know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She did not look right. Something like, I was like, I didn't realize she was gonna vomit, but I was like, are you okay? And she just kind of was like, she's autistic, so she doesn't like, it's hard to like verbally communicate with her sometimes. So she didn't say like, I feel sick or I don't feel well. She didn't say anything. She just was like, like looked furrowed brow, put the iPad down and was just sitting in her seat and kind of looking straight ahead and just did not look well. And I was like, what is happening? And then right then it's like slow-mo. I saw I saw the gag and I caught it with my hands. Okay.
Yes.
Cause again, I'm like super mom. So I was like, oh, and I caught it with my hands and it was the pizza lunch. I was like, oh, okay. Like, okay, she's a little motion sick, or maybe the pizza didn't sit well with her. I don't know. Like, it's fine, but I got it. Like, you know what? Like, as moms, honestly, like, I don't care what is on me. Like, as long as I can wash it, it's fine.
Yes.
Right? So it was all in my hands. I really don't care.
Yep.
I've caught poop with my hands before. Like, I don't care. I will wash my hands and it will be fine, right? So I'm like, it's okay. And then I don't want her to panic. So I'm like, you're okay. You're okay. And she's getting upset, right? Cause she threw up on the plane. I'm like, it's okay. I got it. I caught it all. You're fine. There's literally nothing. Her clothes are clean. I'm like, like feeling good about this. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm like signaling to my husband, like, hey, like I need like a bag. Like my hands are, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It went downhill from there. She threw up again, and then this time my hands were already full, so I couldn't catch it. So she started throwing up, and it was like, you know, it was like coming down her shirt.
Oh,
and so then I was like, oh. And in that time, my husband had like a bag or something, like a trash bag, and so I kind of like did this, and then I was wearing a cardigan. I ripped my cardigan off. Like, I mean, it was like triage, like ER triage. Okay, like there was no time to think. It was a Carly Jean Los Angeles, like CGLA cardigan, okay? I was like, I don't care. I was like, dumped the first vomit, ripped my cardigan off, kind of like wiped my hands as I like took it off, and then like caught her vomit again in my cardigan. And I was like, this is fine. Like, I'll just throw it away. I mean, it's just a piece of clothing. It's fine. Caught it again.
I can't imagine the stranger next to you.
Okay, the stranger, at first I think she tried to be gracious because it's like, you know, like it's not like
kid. Yeah.
Yeah. But then, but also, okay, spoiler alert, she threw up 7 times on the flight. Like she threw up 5 more times after that. And I think as the vomit kept coming, the stranger was like, ill. Like, and she was like all like up in the window, like as far away from her as she could get. And I didn't blame her. And then this is like the worst part. So she's throwing up. It's all over her hair, all over her clothes. So I take her to the airport bathroom. I mean, the airplane bathroom. And I don't know why I did this. I think I was not thinking like, okay, it's an airplane sink. But I was like, throw up in the sink. Because I think if I was at home, I'd be throw up in the sink. And we would just rinse it down.
Right.
But that's not how airplane sinks work. Right. It's like that little stop
plug. It's like it doesn't really like go down. Yeah.
Okay. So then she's threw up in the sink and it was chunky. Okay. So I'm like pushing the little stopper and like just, you know, my hands are like gone at this point. So I'm just like, I'm like trying to shove it down. It got clogged. It wouldn't go down. So then I had to stick my fingers in and pull all the chunks out and throw them into the toilet. It was so bad. And it didn't stop. She like once we landed in SFO, she threw up in the car on the way home. Like it just,
poor baby.
So that was like the worst, probably like tied with one other bad moment for like top worst travel experiences. Yeah. The other moment is just we flew international once when my oldest was like 1 year old, and it was a flight to Asia. It was like the only time I ever took any kids overseas like that far. Yeah. And she cried for 5 hours on the flight. Like just hysterical. Benadryl wouldn't calm her down, like nothing. Yeah. That was like stressful just because I couldn't get her to calm down.
Right.
But that and the vomit are like top for my worst traumatic moment. I'm sweating. I know. Like, I'm sweating retelling it. And she still brings it up, like, because we had to like pull over. Like, she threw up in a bag in the car on our way home from the airport. And then like when we like got kind of like close to our neighborhood, like a nearby Starbucks plaza, we like hopped out and like threw the bag in the trash, like the public trash. And she still talks about it. Like the other day, she's like, "Mom, remember when you threw away my throw up in that trash can over there?" And I'm like, I will never forget that till the day that I die. And now
it's immortalized on a podcast.
Forever. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't think I have a story to even hold a candle to that.
You're lucky. Count yourself blessed.
I know. I'm knocking on wood. I really...
It might come for you.
I know.
What about like a favorite moment then?
What is a top favorite moment? I mean, thankfully, my kids have been pretty good on flights. They have gotten car sick a couple times on like, you know, when you go camping or like we did an RV trip last year.
Yeah.
And so the kids were sitting like in their car seats strapped in, but it's like the table, the dining table area part of the RV. And so, you know, we're just a motion sick kind of family. Like I was car sick and like my oldest was car sick and he just like threw up on the table. And I also like tried to catch it, but it just, you know, was too much.
Yeah.
And it was just on the table. And so I'm like trying myself not to also, but then like wiping the table. That was not fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what are some good ones? I don't even know. There was one, it was a good experience, but also slightly embarrassing. But when I flew to Europe, it was just a me and my husband trip, but he was there on business. So I flew separately to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I splurged on myself with a business class ticket with like points, and it was on Air France. And it didn't occur to me that like when you fly a different like airline, like Air France, like everything's in French. So like it just didn't occur to me. It's like, of course, like they speak English a little bit and stuff.
Yeah. But no, I would think it's like a bilingual menu, like, you know, all that.
For sure. But then like, you know, all the stewardesses and everything, their first language is French.
Got it. Right.
I don't know. I just felt like really out of place, especially in like a nicer cabin. And like, so they were serving these hors d'oeuvres like around the cabin. And then they're like these little like spoons, and you're supposed to just take a spoon like from the tray, but I took the whole tray and I would just like put it on my lap.
You're like, "Thank you, I'll take all of them."
And he was like, "No, just take one." And I was like so embarrassed.
Oh.
And he didn't come back to me for like the rest of the trip. I was like,
he's like, "This stupid American."
I know, and I basically it was not cute.
Oh yeah, I think I would be embarrassed if I did that too.
Anyways, that was fun.
Anyways,
well, here's to smooth trips this summer.
Yes,
fingers crossed.
No, knock on wood. Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of trips and vacations,
yes,
our book club pick for this month was Emily Henry's book, People We Meet on Vacation. What did you think, Sophia?
I loved it. I I loved it. 5 out of 5. Okay, so can I be honest? I don't remember what Emily Henry's other book, The Beach Read, is about. Beach Read? Like,
do you remember?
At all. No, at I don't. All. I know it's like authors.
Yeah, so it was this girl moved into her dad's like love nest house.
Oh, that's right. And then the neighbor is like emo.
Yeah.
Okay, it's coming back to me. Yeah.
Like had to write each other's genre whatever.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if that was her first book or whatever, but I think it was her first big hit. Cause I think she has written some other things and it got super hyped and stuff. Beach Read. And then when I read it, I was like, it's fine.
Like, yeah, it was perfect sentiment. Yeah. It was not terrible. Like,
yeah,
it was just fine. You know, we recently, you and I, we read, the YouTube book,
Life's Too Short,
Abby Jimenez, Life's Too Short. Yeah. Okay. It's like the trilogy, like the third book, from the Friend Zone, which we absolutely loved.
Yeah.
And that's, the way we're describing Beach Read is how I felt about Life's Too Short, where it was like, it was good. I liked it, but it wasn't like, I mean, it's like forgettable. Like I didn't remember what it was about.
Yeah.
I think People We Meet on Vacation is going to be like in my top, whatever, like 5, top 10, like just like favorite books. It was really good.
It hit a lot of, not just like plot points for me, but even like the extra, like the settings and like the characters.
Yeah.
Like, you know, from Life's Too Short, I was like, it's a vlogger. And I was like, Sophia, you're going to love it. She's a vlogger.
I did.
And, like, there were definitely like stuff, parts that were relatable. But I think like Poppy and just all the things like she and her friend Rachel talk about, like millennial ennui. Like, I was she's hitting like all these like zeitgeist
all the things. Yeah.
I can connect with you. I can, and even like Alex, I was like, I could totally see myself having a friend like this, you know?
Yes, yes.
Like, not some like crazy, you know, stud or whatever, or like hotshot lawyer or whatever, but just like a normal guy, a teacher, a high school teacher.
Yes, yes.
It felt very relatable on a lot
very
of
levels. Realistic and relatable, and just even like the way that Emily Henry sort of unfolded the story line between Poppy and Alex in like kind of tracing their friendship and where they first met and how they began and like just the way she revealed little nuggets here and there. It's not like she was really like cute. Okay, like here's their whole backstory, you know. It was like had to discover it as you read. I really, really loved that. I thought that the storytelling was top notch.
Yeah. So like she goes back and forth between like present day and then like she'll flash back to 11 years ago, then 10 years and then 9. And it kind of leads up to like where they are. And that was really fun and really smart because there's kind of like a reveal about like what has happened to them in their relationship and stuff.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. Like, pretty much from, like, chapter 2, like, in the beginning that there is a falling out or, like, something happened and they don't speak anymore and you're not sure why. Jency was texting because I finished before her and I was like, you have to read it. Like, you'll love it. And then she was texting me. She's like, oh, my gosh. Does Alex have amnesia? Like, does he just like?
I was like, why is he remembering anything? What is happening? Is this some like crazy sad ending? I was like bracing myself for the worst.
Oh, I was dying when I saw those texts. I was like, you're way off. But should I just let you think that? Like, it's more fun that way. but yeah, I also like how I don't know. Maybe this is the sense that I got is you, for me, as I was reading. So like in the beginning of the book, it's clear to me that from Poppy's perspective, Alex is very special to her. And for me, I was like, okay, like obviously this is like a rom-com. So I see that this is going to go to a spot where like Poppy has feelings for Alex or has always had feelings for him. And she just doesn't know it or it hasn't been revealed to the reader yet. But what I kind of liked was I don't think that the author really made it as obvious on Alex's part that he felt the same way about her. Until you kind of got into like the more meatier or even like towards like the last third of the book, then it was like, very, it was clear he felt the same way. When you're first reading about it, like when it's talking about like their first summer trip together when they're in college or whatever, you're just like, okay, like, you know, I can tell like the trajectory of the storyline is going to be that Poppy falls for Alex, but like at what point does Alex fall for her? But it's always been her for him as well.
I know.
And I just, I thought it was sweet. I don't know.
I thought it would have been really cool to have Alex's POV in this. Just because he is such a normal-ish kind of guy. It would have been really cool to see like what he thought of Poppy and like how his feelings developed for her.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. Like, I love this best friends to lovers. In this particular, like the way she did it was really good. When she talks about that, like, percentage of what if, how it's, like, so it's oh, like 5% what if.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's 15, but then
15, you
kind of squash it back down.
Shrink it, yeah.
And so for me, when me and my husband were best friends for a while, and people would ask me, like, you know, whatever. And like, even if when we were dating, when we started dating, people were like, did you know this was going to happen or whatever? And I was like, no. You know, we're just, we kind of always saw each other as best friends, but there was, at least for me, a percentage, like the what if.
Of
like,
course.
If it did happen, then yes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I thought her including that was very, realistic too.
It's just like accurate, right? It's like, how are you in our head and you know that this is how we think?
Oh my gosh. And like all the trips, I was like, oh my gosh, all these crazy trips. And how they start off, like, just saving up money and going on these, you know, like, local things. And then they go on these extravagant, like, to Tuscany in a villa.
Stuff.
I was like, that's the dream. That's so like the millennial dream.
I am not, like, someone who loves to travel. But reading this book, I was like, I want to go to the ice hotel. Like, you know, like, I want to visit all these places that she talks about in the book. It made me have a little bit of wanderlust, which is a testimony to her skill, because that's like the furthest, like, no thank you. Like, I don't I don't want that.
And I didn't really get, you know, the title, like, People We Meet on Vacation. I kind of thought, you know, she does introduce the side characters and how they kind of come back through the different trips that they take, they end up taking. Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's cool. But then how she brings it back at the end, like
at the end,
Alex is saying, I'm not just like someone you can take a vacation from your real life with, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Whoa. I did not see that coming. I was like, so smart. So smart.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. I think that's also why I liked it though, because the whole story just felt very intelligent too. Like, I love a good meet cute, a good, you know, boy meets girl and falls in love. Like, I'm here for like the very, like, classic follow-up formula that doesn't bother me. But I still appreciate when it's done really intelligently or uniquely or just, like, in a way that feels really sophisticated and, like, she put a lot of thought into it. Yes. And I wholeheartedly agree with that at the ending where, like, there's something that happens and then, you know, it's, like, you have to choose or, like, make your decision. I'm not going to just, like, wait around for you. And, and then, like, Poppy's, like, she's, like, thinking, like, why do I like to travel? Like, what is it about it that makes me, like, feel a certain way that, like, what am I chasing, you know? And then, like, even talking about the airport, like, how everyone, it's, like, I forget how she put it, but she said, like, she liked being in the airport because it felt like people were always, like, rushing off to somewhere. Like, they were off to their next adventure. But then later she's, like, but at the end of the day, they always have someone to go home to. And, like, who's my home or, like, where's my home or whatever. And, so I just – I don't know. I really, really liked it, too. I liked it a lot. Five out of five stars for me.
It really was perfect.
I don't know what else to say about it. It felt like the friend zone to me. Like, that same feeling when I read the friend zone when I was like, okay, like, I really love this story. Or the Unhoneymooners with Christina Lauren. Yes. Like, just like that feeling where you read a book and you're like, okay, this is really fun. This is really special. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm so glad that we decided to read this because I think, I mean, I would have read it anyways, but when we decided to choose this for our June book club pick, like I said, I couldn't remember what her other book was about. Right, and right. So I was just like, I felt like I didn't have a frame of reference. Like, do I like her writing? I mean, I knew I didn't dislike her writing because otherwise I wouldn't have agreed to making it the book club pick. But I felt like I was going in blind almost. And I was sort of like, am I excited about this? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, I don't know. And then we have a friend who like had read it
and was like, I don't know. And I also remembered I didn't like love Beach Read, but our
friend
Karen was like, you have to read this.
You have to
like,
read it. Yeah.
Okay,
fine. We will. And I don't know, like the title too threw me off. Like people we meet on vacation. I was kind of like, am I going to be able to relate to this book? Because I know when I'm on vacation, I don't want to meet people. Like, like, what is this story about? Like, don't talk to me if I don't know you, you know? Yeah. But I liked it a lot. I really, I think I might, you know, I just got the Kindle version from the library for the book club, but maybe I'll buy my copy and add it to my
show. I ended up buying it because
my whole
time was too long, but yeah, I bought it.
Oh, exciting. I always love it when we read a really good book that just feels makes you feel really satisfied when you're done. Like no open endings, no loose ends. And it like felt smart. So you're not like, okay, I just like basically read the equivalent of binge watching like some trashy show or something. It doesn't feel like that, you know?
Yes, yes. I'm in like a happy place about it.
Yes. Me too.
Should we announce our July book club
pick? Yeah. That brings us to announcing our next month's book club pick, which is a reread for both Jensine and I. But it is going to be the Summer I Turned Pretty trilogy. It's a 3-book series by Jenny Han. The books have been out for like 10-ish years. They've been out for a while. I just looked it up. Oh yeah, so
2009.
And like the third one was 2012 or something. So like it's they've been out for a while. So there's a chance that you've either heard of it or even read it already. Jensine and I, like I said, have already read it when like they came out, and so this will be a reread. So a lot of times, because I read so much, I don't remember what I read. Like if it doesn't stick out, I'll forget. Like Beach Read, case in point right there. I remember The Summer I Turned Pretty. I remember every book. I obviously don't remember like all the dialogue and all the things that happened, but like I remember the story. So I'm super excited to be rereading it. And part of the reason why we chose this series to reread, well, A, because it's called The Summer I Turned Pretty, and hello, we're in the summertime. It's like a perfect summer read. Yeah. But also, if you didn't know, it's being made into a TV series. I don't know if it's going on Netflix or, I think it's going to be on Amazon. Yeah. On Amazon. We did a quick Google search before recording it. Like all the articles said it was going to be coming out in 2021 sometime. So like TBD if that's really going to happen or not, but it's been cast already and everything. So it's definitely happening. So kind of like in preparation for that, plus it's summertime, we are going to be reading that. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, pick it up. Even if you've already read it, reread it with us. It's going to be a good one. This one I might already own the Kindle version actually. I'm gonna have to look that up. Or maybe that's To All the Boys. I can't remember the other. Oh, it's by Jenny Han who wrote To All the Boys I Loved Before, which we've fangirled about before on this podcast.
But I actually think I prefer this series to that one.
Same.
I might have mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Okay then. Yeah.
It's really good though. It's really good. Excited. Yeah, super exciting. So make sure to read along or reread along if you've already read it before, and follow us on Instagram at Pen and Page Gals. You can follow us individually at Jen Sane or at Sophia K Says. We also have a website/ blog, penandpagegals.com, which we actually do update pretty regularly. Yes. So check it out if you haven't. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. I hope everyone is having a really great summer break. We appreciate you guys. Make sure to put sunblock on. Until next time, bye.